The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Dear God, even though another Christmas has come and gone, help us to feel and recognize the miracle, wonder, and awe of the birth of Christ still today. May our hearts become stables and our lives reflect the joy and hope of the Christmas season, the birth of Jesus, our Savior, the whole year through. Amen. So let's be honest. Who's exhausted and a little relieved that the Christmas season is over? Yes. There's no more worrying about who's hosting or where we're traveling. It gets a little hectic and stressful this time of year, doesn't it? Trying to find those perfect gifts for the people you love and then trying to get them all wrapped in time with the pretty little bows or the curling ribbon perfectly on the top. Then trying to cram them all in the car or under the tree so those perfect little ribbons don't get squashed. And then trying to figure out and make that perfect meal that everyone's going to enjoy and eat to their heart's content, only to realize you forgot one of the key ingredients for the main dish, so you have to try to race around to find a convenience store that's open on Christmas Day. Not that that happened to me or anything. What a relief that the stress level has dropped. Who's hosting? Who's coming? Who's going? Meals, gifts, wrapping paper and ribbons, cleaning and washing dishes. So we've got the shopping, the wrapping, and the entertaining covered, but where's Jesus in the midst of all of this? I've got to be honest, there was so much going on at our place on Christmas Day that it didn't even occur to me until we were halfway through our meal that I forgot to have our people pray. And I figured, way to set a good example. So where's Jesus in the midst of all of this? That's the very question that Mary and Joseph were asking in our gospel text this morning. Where's Jesus? After celebrating the Passover in Jerusalem, which typically lasted about a week, Mary and Joseph were making their way back home to Nazareth with a group of travelers. And traveling in groups was pretty common back then to avoid danger on the road, because there were thieves and other dangers that they would come across. And the entire group watched out for one another, especially the kids. We can imagine the group continuing to talk and enjoy one another's company as they made their way back home. Maybe they were feeling like some of us after a big get-together, a little physically and mentally wore out and in need of some quiet time to recharge. Now, Mary and Joseph are under the impression that their 12-year-old is among those in the group. They're unaware that Jesus has stayed behind in Jerusalem. Can you imagine how they must have felt when they realized Jesus was nowhere to be found among that group of travelers? Imagine the frantic tone in their voices, the fear in their eyes. Imagine the pain and agony of trying to retrace their steps to find their son. For those of you who are parents, if you've ever lost track of a child in a busy department or grocery store, you might have an idea of what this feels like. When my kids were a little younger, there's one place that I looked upon with absolute dread: Payless Shoe Store. And don't get me wrong, it's a great store, and there's lots of good deals and shoes. But once my daughter was old enough to walk, that store became my worst nightmare. I was used to shopping with my son, who would either walk nicely beside me or he'd sit on one of those little benches in the same aisle that I was looking for the shoes. He might roll his eyes or complain a little bit when it got too long, but that was about it. My daughter, on the other hand, took shoe shopping to a totally different level. From the moment she could walk, those shoe aisles became the perfect game for a perfect place for a spontaneous game of hide and seek. And on occasion, the frantic question, "Where is my child?" would run through my mind as I strained to see which aisle she was darting into next. In her young mind, this was all fun and games. And at that time, she had no way of comprehending the stress and anxiety that created. Likewise, Jesus did not seem to have any idea about the stress that Mary and Joseph experienced when they could not find him. Two frantic parents searching for their son, a seemingly mischievous child who has wandered off yet again. Where's Jesus? Have you seen our son? Do you know which direction he went? After 3 days of searching, they finally find him in the temple among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. Jesus himself was answering questions, and we're told that the teachers and all who heard were amazed at his understanding. At this young age, Jesus showed the qualities that would make him an extraordinary leader. Mary and Joseph, too, were amazed. But Mary nonetheless scolded her son for wandering off and creating such anxiety in their lives. "Why have you treated us like this?" she asked. And you can almost hear the tone in her voice. To this, Jesus calmly replied, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" Very matter-of-fact and nonchalant, "Why were you searching for me?" And then we're told Jesus obediently went with Mary and Joseph and increased in divine and human favor. "Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" Jesus was found in the temple. Later in his life, Jesus will refer to his body as a temple. And in Romans, Paul writes that our bodies are temples for the Holy Spirit. The church, or temple, is not a building made of stone. It's made of the people who dwell within it. And it's as if this young Jesus was giving us a hint of what his life was to become and of what our lives were to become. I have a feeling if we ask Jesus today where he's been in the midst of our holiday preparations and celebrations, he would say, "Why were you searching for me? Do you not know that I am here among you, within you? Look into the eyes of those you love. Watch the children laughing and playing. See those who are joyous, but also see the homeless person standing on the street corner. Also see those who grieve, and also see those who are lost, alone, or forgotten in this world. Did you not know that I am here among you in all of these places?" In one of his commentaries called "What Have You Heard and Seen This Christmas?", author Brett Blair challenges his readers to reflect on their attitudes and reactions to events that have occurred in the world this Christmas season. Blair writes, "When you watched the 6 o'clock news, did you see chaos and strife, or did you see sheep without a shepherd? When you went out to do your shopping, did you see only hordes of people in the stores, or did you notice the worried expressions on some of their faces? Worried because they are facing this Christmas without employment or enough money, and they don't know how they're going to make ends meet. What did you hear this Christmas? Did you hear only the blast of music and carols, or did you hear the silent sighs of the lonely and bereaved who may be dreading Christmas because it accentuates their loneliness? And in the midst of the honking horns and the people arguing over parking places, did you hear the faint sounds of laughter coming from church mission projects because you furnished food and toys for families and children in need?" Blair continues, "So often what you see and what you hear is not dependent upon the event, but upon you. If you did in fact hear the cry from the lonely, the laughter of poor children, if you saw the sheep without a shepherd, then and only then might you have noticed the events that took place in Bethlehem the night that the Christ child was born. But if you lacked that spiritual seeing and hearing, then you probably would have been with the 99% who were present, but who saw or heard nothing out of the ordinary." That is our challenge still today, to see the extraordinary among the ordinary, to see the world with one another through the eyes of our Savior. Where's Jesus? He dwells here among us and within us always. He calls us to hear the cry from the lonely, the laughter of poor children, the sheep without a shepherd. He calls us to be as he was, people who embody compassion, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, and love. As our second reading from Colossians urges us, "As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body." This is such a rich text in Colossians. Because what if, before we left our homes each day, we made sure to put on our love for one another, our love for our neighbors, our compassion, our kindness, and humility? What if we made a point to put on all of these qualities, just as we put on clothing each day? Imagine the world of peace and harmony and new life that would exist, all thanks to the life and ministry of Christ. As Christians, we know that Jesus journeyed through his life with one destination, ever present in his future, the cross. It was there that he bore the burdens and the hardships and the loneliness for each one of us. And that's the perfect Christmas gift. That's the gift we've all been searching for. And that's something to celebrate not just once a year, but every day throughout the year. So the next time you feel overwhelmed or uncertain or like you lost sight of Jesus, just remember that you never need to search for him. He's always close by, within you and within your family, within friends and even strangers. Clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And may the peace of Christ, born in a lonely stable so long ago, rule in our hearts today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen.